Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to yet another edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined, as always, by Matt Hankins. How are you tonight, Matt?
I'm doing all right.
Doing all right. Did you catch some wrestling this weekend?
I did catch a little wrestling. I was at the tournament for the AIWF Americas title on Friday night. And then I watched a squash match on Saturday between Alabama and Georgia.
Well, I heard, thanks to Larry Goodman's report on gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, that Fred Yehi was the winner of that tournament for Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. And,
yeah, it was just overall a very interesting stylistically weekend for wrestling here in the state. I mean, you had that thing out in Monroe and Southern Fried, which, you know, is not traditionally known as the technical wrestling show. They're a storyline show. They their fans like what they like, and they kind of give it to them. And they stretched their legs a little bit on this one to do something different. Crowd didn't exactly know what to do with all of it. But, I mean, you know, wrestling top to bottom, it was very solid effort. Shane Marks and Chip Day match was kind of exactly what you'd expect that to be. I don't know if there's two people that have better chemistry in the state. I mean, I could watch those two do it all day. And then Yehi and Day in the final was another just an absolute slugfest. And then you had the same thing going on kind of at Peach State as well, with Kyle Matthews and Cedric Alexander at the top of that, which is certainly something that has not traditionally been what's tried out there. And then you had AWE on Sunday doing what they do, which that's their thing. But it's weird to see the tide turn a little bit.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I believe Larry Goodman wrote reports of all three of those shows, so he was a busy
old
man this weekend. I was in attendance for AWE yesterday, and it was another good show. Despite the turnout wasn't as good as I'm sure they were hoping for, especially after that Sabu show almost a month ago, and then they're coming up on another bigger show at the Masquerade in a few weeks. But, yeah, it was another good show, and Larry Goodman did a report of it. So go read his report at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. Also, check out the Fans of Wrestling show. They interviewed Shane Strickland. I believe they interviewed him after his match yesterday. The interview's already posted. So, and last week they talked to David Starr, who was also part of that AWE event yesterday. So go check out our sister podcast, I guess you call it.
Sounds appropriate. That's an insider term, though.
Our sibling podcast. I don't want to offend anybody. So we got another big show tonight. We had a Rock and Roll Express member last week, and tonight we've got a Midnight Express member and beautiful Bobby Eaton, who was always one of my favorites in WCW in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of people have great things to say about him. He of course, obviously was mostly known for his tag team work, but he did hold some singles titles and have some pretty good accomplishments on his own. He will be part of the Superstars of Wrestling Fan Fest later this month, up in Rome, Georgia. And we're probably going to have some more people over the next couple weeks. I think we've got two more shows before that event. So I'm working on lining up some more of those bigger name guests that can tell us more, you know, more about what it used to be like wrestling in Georgia and elsewhere. But I'm sure he'll have plenty to say tonight. I'm sure you'll have plenty to ask him, Matt.
Oh, man. I get excited about all our guests. But this one, oh, this one. Beautiful Bobby Eaton from Huntsville, Alabama. Like the only guy that I knew from the same state I was in when I was coming up. I'm just, you're going to hear a lot about local Huntsville references. So you might want to get a map out.
Well, what do you have any favorite matches or memories of watching him on, of course, on the Superstation?
The Blue Bloods thing is, oddly enough, I guess it hit me at the exact right time. That's the thing I remember most because it just was so out of character.
Yeah.
But that whole run I just found to be amazing. And you know, Bobby's one of those guys that, in looking at, you know, what he's accomplished, there's nothing he hasn't done. He's got a top 10 career in terms of where he was and when he was, when he was there. It's just amazing. But, yeah, that Blue Blood stuff just blew me away.
Yeah, I like that. I know Triple H was briefly in WCW and then, of course, had a very similar gimmick upon his arrival in World Wrestling Federation. Was he ever actually part of the Blue Bloods?
No, he was terrorizing in WCW, mm-hmm. so I think he was doing a very different thing over there. And that
yeah.
name probably tells you why he wasn't there for very long.
Well, I too enjoyed the Blue Bloods, but I also liked him as part of Paulie Dangerously's Dangerous Alliance.
I mean, with Blue Bloods, Dangerous Alliance, both incarnations of the Midnight Express. What if you won't? Worked with Cornette and Heyman.
Yeah.
What do you want?
And he was, you know, in a, I guess it was kind of a short-lived tag team, but he and Arn Anderson, I guess that was with the Dangerous Alliance, wasn't it? Or was that after?
Was that Bad Attitude? Was that a little, I think that might have been a little bit later. It might have spun out of that.
But yes.
Just, I mean, just doing it all. Known as the nicest guy in the world, which in wrestling is basically like finding a unicorn.
Yeah. Well, I guess it doesn't really take much to be a nice guy in wrestling, but it seems like he is a genuine nice guy. Even if he wasn't in wrestling, people would say what a nice guy that beautiful Bobby Eaton is. And I've always wondered where he got that name, beautiful, because it's not the first word that comes to mind when I see him.
Nah.
Even in his younger days.
The standards were a lot different then. I mean,
yeah.
You did have Sweet Stan Lane. I don't know how sweet he was.
Chuck. Go ahead.
Our own Big Wood was in a tag team called the Centerfolds. So, I mean, yeah, I think we just can't wrap our brains around what ladies were liking back in the 70s and 80s. A lot of mustache game. If you had a mustache game, you were pretty much on point.
Well, I don't remember Beautiful Bobby ever having a mustache. He just had that mullet.
He was counterculture. He was that mullet. Ooh, that mullet. Oof.
Well, I did see, I forget where I saw it, but I saw some report. I think it was the Georgia Wrestling Fans or whatever that other site is called. And the big time wrestling event that last week's guest, Ricky Morton, was part of. Looked like it drew really well. I believe the report was like 2,000 or something like that.
Wow. Maybe we all need to be running in Alma. Maybe it's the move.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with a star-studded card like that, you would hope it would. They certainly had the name recognition down pat. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that doesn't always turn out the way people want it to.
It does. I think, you know, it's probably the right set of circumstances because I don't know much about South Georgia's wrestling scene. We don't hear a lot about it up here. But, you know, it may just be one of those people love wrestling, man. We're still in Georgia. And if you're an underserved market, you can do well on occasion. may not be the kind of thing that can happen all the time, but you can certainly do well on occasion in a place that's not spoiled. And that's probably something we don't notice as much being in the Atlanta area. Is you can't throw a rock without hitting a promotion up here, and you know, some pretty heavyweight stuff. So when people watch numbers, as often we do, it can get a little rough because there's so many alternatives. You can be a fan of a lot of places, and you can pick and choose in this area pretty much at will. You know, like, look at all the options you would have had this weekend. You could have pulled a Larry Goodman and triple shot it, and saw a pretty good show every night. And, you know, the Peach State with the big announcement, if we're talking to Bobby Eaton tonight, that Jim Cornette will be on hand on November 7th down there. So they are pulling out all the stops.
I actually just saw that as I was looking for the report that I was referencing. It's a very psychedelic poster they've got, too. I don't know if you've seen it.
It is Jim Cornette Experience. It is that for sure. And heck, so, in the midst of all that, we hadn't even mentioned, you know, there was a show in Barnesville that had a lot of big names on it. And, oh, man, I saw...
A WrestleMerica show?
WrestleMerica had that show with the Bullet Club guys on it, and they've got somebody else lined up for the next show there. I saw that today, and it's slipping my mind right now, but it's certainly a name that people will recognize.
Mr. Anderson? Speaking of, did you even realize that not only was there a TNA pay-per-view yesterday, but it was their biggest one of the year.
It was.
And it just kind of...
show of the year.
And Matt Hardy's the new... Matt Hardy's the new champion. It was in the Charlotte area, I believe it was Concord. I actually got to do the only reason I even remembered was because I was invited to be part of a conference call thing they did last week with EC3 and Drew Galloway. So I got to ask a few questions, and you can find that at wrestlingwithpopculture.com. But it was a little strange because I don't know how far in advance last week's Impact had been taped, or are they doing live shows again? Do you know?
I think everything's in the can and had been so for some time.
So that's, I was doing a conference call with the only two members that had been announced, for that main event. And then, of course, on that night's episode of Impact, or maybe it was the next night, it was revealed that Matt Hardy would also be involved and Jeff Hardy would be the referee. But at the time that they were doing the conference call, they had to just pretend like that hadn't happened yet.
We don't know. We don't know who's wrestling.
So they even said at one point, I asked specifically about the environmental factors of being in somewhere, you know, they kept bringing up Ric Flair wanting to be a world travel champion like Ric Flair. So, of course, they're in the Charlotte area. So I asked, you know, what are their thoughts on wrestling in front of that kind of crowd? And I actually hadn't read any spoilers. I didn't know who the guest referee was yet. But I asked, you know, how they thought that might factor in. And one of them, I forget which one, actually said, well, we don't know who the guest referee is yet. I just don't understand, you know, obviously they do. And if anybody really wanted to know, they could find out. So, you know, it's a silly way of doing things, I think.
It is. And
they look like a good card. I don't know if anybody saw it.
I read about it. I read the results, and, you know, it looked like they played to North Carolina. You know, you got both Hardys involved in the main event. They had Hurricane Helms come out after the X Division thing and kind of do a little bit there. So they did everything they could. And, you know, judging from the pictures, they did better than they have been doing. But, I mean, again, it's your biggest show of the year. You're a television entity, and the numbers are still, you know, the arena itself was just 2,500. I mean, you juxtapose that with NXT, which is only on a subscription-based internet streaming service, and they fill up Brooklyn. It's a very weird time especially given the fact that, you know, what, 6 months ago, a lot of people thought we were about to hit a boom period where Destination America had ROH on, they had Impact on, and then El Rey had Lucha Underground on, you know, NXT and WWE are both going, and that really faded really quickly. You know, with Global Force still struggling to get footing, it's hard to predict what's going on. I tell you one thing that I have noticed a lot more of, the guys that used to be TNA mainstays have hit the indies, which you would expect they would, but it is more of these kinds of shows that are sort of traveling shows, like Big Time Wrestling. Southern Legacy is another one that I've seen coming up with a lot of those guys from, you know, James Storm, Crimson, Mr. Anderson. The show that Crimson is running out in Tennessee is very similar. So it's just a weird spot to be in right now. It's the lay of the land is very strange. You see Raw's numbers plummeting. And again, we kind of get insulated from a lot of that here because Peach State's going to get 200, and, you know, in most cases, Southern Fried's going to have their 200, and PCW's going to have their crowd, and AWE's going to have their crowd. So we just kind of tick along, which I guess is a blessing because we don't deal with these wild swings that everyone else seems to have to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. I don't have any cable, so I don't really know how anything does. But I know even on Destination America, a lot of people don't have that channel. So,
no.
And I forget. I think El Rey is kind of the same. Lucha Underground still? Is it still on the air, or is it in between seasons?
They run it. They are in between seasons. They just announced that they would be back for a second season. And that's the show that has, among people, you know, that really are hardcore wrestling fans, they love it. And honestly, it may be the best wrestling product on TV from the standpoint of, do they come out and deliver what they say they're going to do every time? Yes, they do. Do they tell a cohesive story? Yes, they do. They do all the things that they say they're going to do, and they're very consistent. But, you know, the numbers just aren't that large. And when you get on TV, you have to do big numbers because you're no longer just trying to judge based on your house. You know what I mean? You got advertisers to answer to, and you got television executives to answer to. So things change very quickly, and the scope creeps on you. And what used to be successful is no longer successful because there's not that many people watching it.
Right.
And you see, well, like with AWE, they seem to be mining those guys that are just on the cusp and that, you know, work a lot of those television shows, and they try to get the mileage they can. And, you know, when it's Sabu, it pays off. But when it's a guy that, you know, that wrestlers really like, the name's not as strong. You get the reaction with, man, that was a great show. Same thing for Peach State with Cedric Alexander. That was a really good show. But it doesn't show results at the box office because people here don't know about those guys as much, and there's a very small rabid internet community that loves those guys, but they don't always like to drive out to Carrollton.
Right. Yeah. I'm often in that boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, I'd like to go see that, but, you know, I also would like to go not go. I'd like to do something else.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if this is our guest, but I believe it is, so I'm going to hit the entrance music. Welcome to the show, beautiful Bobby Eaton. How are you tonight, sir?
Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
All right. You're on with my name's Jonathan, and my co-host is Matt Hankins, and we are very happy to be talking to you tonight.
Oh, okay. Brian gave me the wrong name. Yeah, how you doing, man?
Well, who did you think you were talking to?
He told me I was talking to Dylan.
Oh, Dylan. No, Dylan's Dylan. The one that set everything up. He's the one organizing the, or he's booking the Superstars of Wrestling Fan Fest that you're going to be part of. So,
okay.
Thanks I'm texting
having me on.
Dylan.
You can call me whatever you want to, Bobby Eaton. I'm glad you're on this phone.
Thank you.
Well, let's first talk about this fan fest that you're going to be at in a few weeks. It's up in Rome, Georgia. It's I believe this is the third year they're doing it. It's on October 24th. Are you wrestling there or just making an appearance or what?
Just making an appearance, and sign on a glass or whatever.
Are you doing anything like a seminar or Q&A or anything like that?
I really don't know what I'm doing altogether, just autographing, usually I'm going to do some kind of seminar, I can, whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure you have plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
And plenty of people to listen.
Yeah. Where are you located at?
We're in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta? Okay.
Yeah.
I think you might have been here a time or two.
A few times.
Might have done a little business here ever so often.
Uh-huh.
We were talking with Ricky Morton last week, and he was telling us that you were thinking about maybe having a last match.
Yeah. What day is it, Brian?
That's the night before.
The night before, up around, right outside of Knoxville, I think.
Yeah. Where Ricky's school is, so.
Yeah.
What brought you to that?
He's got an high school,
What made you want to finally say that this is it as far as getting in the ring goes?
Well, I just had some health problems, so. I couldn't keep up with the younger guys anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Well, in the ways that wrestling has changed over the years, that's gotten hard for most people to do. How do you feel about sort of the new style?
I like it. I like it a whole lot. I like watching it. I'm still a wrestling fan,
right.
I was, before I broke in, before I even got started. I was a wrestling fan, So, I like the young talent they got up there.
There's plenty of it. As you were coming up, that's what I was telling Jonathan before we got you on the line here, that I was just excited because we were just going to talk about Inside Huntsville references because that's where I lived for 10 years. And anytime I'd see you on TV and they'd say from Huntsville, Alabama, I didn't care how bad of a guy you was, you were my guy. You were my dude.
All right.
Lee High School and Mullins Catfish means a lot to me.
No kidding. Dang.
Who were some of the people that you were watching? As you said, you're a wrestling fan, you're coming up. Who were some of the people you were watching that attracted you to
the Well, of course, Jackie Fargo. Len Rossi, Tozer Yamamoto was my favorite. He's the guy that kind of brought me in.
Tojo was such a tough competitor. I would imagine that it was even worse on you training with him. Were there times you were just like, "There's no way in the world I've made the right decision"?
No, not really. That's what I wanted to do. But Tojo was tough.
Did he make you wear wooden sandals in training?
No. No, he didn't. But he gave me a pair. He took a liking to me for some reason, And I traveled with him, and he told me a whole lot about the wrestling business. Of course, a lot of guys did then.
and we talked about kind of the new style and how the guys are different. But did you get some of that as you were coming up? Because, I mean, when you were coming up, your style was a little more out there than, especially like being trained by Tojo. You were certainly more athletic. You guys did a lot more things than traditionally had been done at that time. Did people kind of look at you the way we look at some of the new guys now?
Well, if they did, they let on to it, you know what I'm saying? You know, that this, but, you know, I've watched a lot of good workers, wrestlers coming up, you know. Tojo was one of the, Lynn Rossi was just, I don't know, you know, him and Jackie Fargo was over like $1 million, you know. No, I may be talking past your time, you know.
Oh no! It is past my time, but through the miracle of VCRs and the internet, now we can keep up pretty well.
Yeah.
Jackie Fargo is a name that we hear anytime we talk to a guy that's from your time. They always mention Jackie Fargo. What was it that stood out about him? Because, I mean, it is universal. Every time we talk to a guy from your era, Jackie Fargo is one of the first names they bring up.
Well, I don't know. He had a lot of color to him, you know. People loved him, you know. I don't know exactly how to put it to you, you know. That he had a lot of showmanship to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did like the Fargo's truck, you know, and that got them pop out of people, you know what I'm saying, every time they did it. You know, yeah. And plus, when I broke into business, I always liked him. You know, he was nice to me. But when I started out putting the ring up and everything, stuff like that. Yeah.
So, was Memphis sort of one of your first goals to get to?
No, not really. I mean, no. I just wanted to be a wrestler, you know.
Didn't care, hook or crook. You just needed to be.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because I didn't get Memphis TV in Huntsville, you know.
Tell me about it.
You know what I mean? I mean, but Jackie Fargo and Jerry Lawler and the... You know, when I first started, they were the top baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I always respected other guys. You know.
And you are renowned. You know, Foley mentioned it in his book, and I've heard countless other stories of Bobby Eaton is just the nicest guy in the world. But you made your hay as a bad guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I like being a bad guy. You know.
Well, here's a weird question. Do you think that as the Midnight Express, it would have gone nearly as well as it did if you had been good guys?
No, because that was my outlook on the wrestling. You know, putting the baby face over. You know. I don't think it could have worked out any better for me, to be honest with you.
No. And knowing that you ultimately would have to put the baby face over.
Right.
Did that help the fact that, you know, we know what we've got to do. We know how to look good in our time, but we know that the end of this story is coming. How do you get prepared for that? How do you get your ego out of the way to say, I'm tired of putting over the Rock and Roll Express?
Well, first of all, I didn't believe they would really let me beat them up, you know. I knew what was going on, you know. So, but I loved putting them over. I loved doing that better than I did going over.
It didn't hurt the pay window, I'm sure. I'm sure that didn't hurt at all.
No, and it's an easy turn of thought when you're going out to the ring, you know, when you don't care about winning.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to have a good match with people that's there. That's there that night, you know.
Jonathan, you better get in here because two Alabama boys get to rattling on.
Well,
so y'all in Atlanta?
What's that?
You guys are in Atlanta right now?
Yes, we
yeah.
are.
We're not in the same room. We're both in the Atlanta area, but we're different parts of Atlanta.
Yeah, okay.
What are tell us some of your fondest wrestling memories of Atlanta or Georgia in general.
No, you know, I got a bunch of them, but, you know, but one thing is, I can tell you, is that me and Jim Cornette and Big Bubba Rogers was going to the Omni there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Omni's not still around, is it?
No. Phillips Arena is on the same, you know, the same site that the Omni was on. They tore it down and built Phillips Arena.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. I got one little thing with me and Bubba and Cornette. Well, we took a taxi from the airport to get to the Omni downtown. The cab driver let us out, and I guess him or somebody closed the door on Big Bubba's finger. But Bubba was not to sell nothing. You know,
ever.
So his finger stuck in the door and down, you know, so he was just, and Jim's looking at him like, what's wrong with you? Get you? And Bubba's got his finger stuck in the door. And the taxi driver had slammed his finger in the damn door. But Bubba didn't sell it. He said, that, you know, because, you know, he was tough when he broke in, don't sell nothing.
Yeah. I heard that same story. I believe it was Randy Rose, maybe, on this same show a few months ago, or sometime last year. Was he around when that happened? Or I forget who told that same story, but apparently it was...
I don't think he was around there at the time, but I couldn't be for sure about that, you know.
Well, we've had somebody else on the show that recounted that same story, and, you know, I would imagine anybody that was around and saw it, it's probably a very memorable moment. Someone not breaking kayfabe.
I will see it all, man, because I'm like, damn, Bubba, you know, you got your finger closed up in the damn car door. Get it out, open the door yourself.
Was that taken to? You know, Bubba was a new guy. He was just coming into the business, and he's given this edict of do not sell anything.
Right,
Did the veterans, were they okay with that? And did they try to do things to him to make him sell just to see if he would do it?
Well, Bubba was a professional anyway, you know. And he actually learned how to work. He was, you know, he started off there in Atlanta just putting guys over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, he would never know not to sell that if Jim or somebody had told him not to sell it. You know, Bubba turned into a good worker. He started off doing TV guys matches, you know, Ray Traylor. So you know, and I'm looking at this big guy, and I see him. You know, he knew what was going on. He kind of picked up pretty quick.
And you were certainly a worker's worker. Everybody that saw you knew what you were doing. Was there ever a time that anybody, and I'm not asking you to name anybody's name even that, but just in general, when it was time for you to work with a guy, was it always as easy as it was, say, with the Express?
Most of them, because I ain't got no ego about that kind of stuff, you know. I'm not worried about, I know how to get my stuff in there, you know. You know, and make, you know, I'm not going to make myself look like an idiot, but even though I have, you know, so shit. So, but I knew in my role as a heel what to do and how to do it. You know.
And
you
as
know,
as you look back over what you accomplished, I mean, you did so much, and you Midnight Express, one of the best tag teams ever. You won, you know, you were the workhorse titles. You had TV titles. You had those kind of things. Was there anything that you didn't get to do that you really wanted?
No, not really. No. Oh, yeah, well, Madison Square Garden, yeah. I wanted to work there. But never got the chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, I wanted to have my last match there, but, you know, just it didn't work out right, you know.
Yeah. And you kept working, you know, long after cameras had stopped rolling. You know, you did the independents. You did whatever you could. Could you get a moment's peace in a locker room if you went into an indie locker room? Were the guys just all over you, picking your brain?
No, not really. I didn't mind if they did, you know.
Right.
No.
It just seems like a wasted opportunity if Bobby Eaton's sitting in the locker room for you not to just get under his wing.
Well, I mean, a lot of guys did ask me my opinion about stuff, you know. And, I mean, I don't want to come across trying to be the smartest guy in the world.
But when it comes to wrestling, there's not too many that's going to know more than you do.
Well, thank you. That's nice.
That's I mean.
I'm getting a big head over here now.
That's what I'm here to do. If I can boost Bobby Eaton up, I feel like I owe you that much for all you do, for the countless hours that I've watched you do your thing. Who are some of your favorite people to work with? We talked about the Express, obviously, but who are some of the other guys that you just, when you got to the show and you saw your name versus this guy on the card, that you knew this was going to be one of those nights where we can really do something memorable?
Well, I like working with the Fantastics, you know, Bobby Fulton, Tommy Rogers, you know, that Brad Armstrong. I mean, that was one of my favorite guys to work with Brad, you know. Wow.
And again, y'all were cut from a very similar cloth. You knew, just, I guess, fundamentals, that seems like a slight, I guess, to some people, but if you're fundamentally sound, especially back then, you know, the 80s and early 90s, if you were fundamentally sound, and you were like a left-handed pitcher, you could just work.
Well, damn. I'm getting another big head here. You know?
You've earned it. You've absolutely earned it. Doug, and I was talking about. Go ahead.
I'll tell you something about the Armstrong family. Every member of that family can work. You know what I'm saying? Brad was a great worker. The only person I never worked with was their mother. Dad, so.
I heard she had a really good arm drag.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I just saw that that Bullet is actually on the same card as Action Mike Jackson here in a couple weeks down in Jasper. Could you believe that those two are still in there doing it?
Yeah, I can. I sure can. Especially Mike Jackson. You know, Mike Jackson probably the best hustler that ever was.
Oh, man, let's go. Let's talk about Mike Jackson and how he can hustle. I mean, really, Bobby. There's nobody
when I first started wrestling, and Nick Gillis was sent us down to sit down to work for somebody else or whatever. Mike Jackson was selling his gimmicks then. You know, nobody ever had the idea of selling gimmicks like he did. I mean, excuse me, he'd go out and hustle his gimmicks, you know. I never knew about going out at an intermission to sell my gimmicks. Yeah. Not that it would sell anyway, I'm just saying that.
Didn't cross your mind. And Mike still does today. I've had the pleasure of I manage a tag team or two here and there, and I've worked on shows for Mike, and nothing has changed. Not one thing. I'm sure Mike is still trying to sell some of the gimmicks that he was that were in the box when you were with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he is. You know, because you go up to town and tell me, I mean, he may have been one of the first guys. No, he wasn't the first guy, but the guys that played music. Rip Rogers was the first guy I ever seen. You know who Rip Rogers is, right? Hello?
Rip Rogers?
Rip Rogers. Are you asking?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's the only name he used?
Yeah, that's
for
Rip Rogers.
Yeah, also Rip Rogers. Well, but he came out with a... Everybody thinks the Freebirds were the first one to come out with music. But Rip Rogers was the first one I ever seen it. You know.
I thought it was Sergeant Slaughter, actually.
It could have been. I wouldn't have run him, so it may have been Sergeant Slaughter. You know,
well, I'm sure.
Bill Rogers was the first one that played music while both in it. You know.
I'm sure you'll be. You'll be pushing this at the Superstars of Wrestling Fan Fest, but I saw you have a movie. Is it out yet, or is it coming out soon? A documentary?
No, I don't know about that now.
No?
You might want to call a lawyer then, Bobby.
I'm looking at a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about
now. The beautiful one, Bobby Eaton, directed by Terrence Ward, starring Bobby Eaton, Jim Cornette, James Dillon.
Yeah, that's right.
Is this already out? It says release date 2015.
I don't know. Is it out yet? No, not yet.
Do you know when this is going to be out?
They're saving it. They're saving it for the big push. No, I don't know. I haven't talked to Terrence lately.
So I take it wasn't filmed recently, since you don't seem to recall. Recall it even happening.
Brian was telling that they've been putting on the, I guess, the internet, Brian?
Yeah, like little
on the internet, little short clips of it. You know, it's a friend of mine did an announcement there, and Arkansas in Arkansas, whatever kind it was, when Arkansas. You know. I forgot all about it.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure that is a lot of it you can't forget because you've done so much of it. We were talking before about you were able to work with both Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette, you know, two of the best managers there ever was.
Right. You got that right.
And you got them both sort of on their way up to a degree. When you first started working with Cornette, did you know right off the bat that this guy has got something that's going to work, or was it more of a work in progress?
Well, the first TV we did, I was in Jim in Louisville when we ran Jerry Jarrett's mother ran, she ran Louisville, and then when we got together, you know, started traveling together. You know, I knew he had his damn, his guard down good. Well, you know, and then traveling with him, we traveled every day together for Bill Watts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we traveled every day together. You know,
And you mentioned Bill Watts there. That's a guy that I've read a lot about, and I'm just always amazed at how Bill was able to accomplish all the things he did, where he did. Again, was that one of those things that, as it was happening, did you guys realize how good it was? Just, you know, this is where I am right now. We're just going to go to work for Bill.
Well, we were in Tennessee, never teamed together, all of us together. When Bill Watts talked to Bill Watts, he told us he was going to give us a big push, you know. Of course, back then, a lot of people said that, you know, oh, we're going to give you a big push, and you get there, and they don't do cat crap with you, you know. But he did. He gave us a pussy. He gave Cornette the mic time to get over. Because Jim, you know, Jim would do interviews on, I think it was whatever night, Wednesday. You know. I think Watts, well, he finally did beat him up, you know, as far as working wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he wanted to get his hands on him. You know, because he gave us a big push on TV, with, you know, and we did real good with him.
And in that period, how did you know when it was time to leave the territory, or was that something that just always came down from the office?
It kind of came down from the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the feeling probably they didn't want to use us. If we didn't go work for Bill Watts, we won't be working there no more neither for Jerry Jarrett. And they were switching talent. They were switching talent back and forth. So, you know, Jarrett got guys for him, and Watts, you know, Watts' haircut was doing pretty bad at the time. You know, and he just, they just swapped that talent. You know.
And so you just kind of moved when it was time to move. And in those days, were you always worried where the next one was coming from? Because, I mean, you knew you were going to have a limited run wherever you went. Was you always kind of looking forward to, all right, I know we've been here for 6 months. It's probably, you know, the heat's dying down a little bit. We've put the babies over. Were you worried about where you were going next, or did you always have it lined up ready to go?
No, always, you know, you, excuse me, I've been a baby face and a heel, and Tennessee, you're there every week. You're some, you know, either Memphis, Louisville, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, we were the team in Tennessee. We just team. Watts put us together, or Jerry Jarrett did, whichever one it was.
And is that running around, is that what made the world-famous Bobby Eaton bag so full?
Yeah, I guess so. Everybody asked me about that.
I've heard that story so many times that you could, net it was like Felix the Cat. No matter what you needed, Bobby Eaton had it in his bag. Is that where you got the reputation as the nice guy?
Maybe,
the bags that you're so full?
It may have been. It may have been. I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't share a toothbrush with nobody. I don't share a damn pair of socks with nobody. And the guys go on the road like the promoters will have that for you.
I know that tape is a big commodity in our community. Was tape the commodity that it is now back then? Was somebody always asking for tape?
Tape. Everybody always asked for tape. Everybody wanted tape.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in all these years.
And they, they wouldn't buy none. You know? So if I needed tape, I'd make a few rolls of it.
Apparently nobody else knew where the store was.
No. No. Same way still?
Same way. Nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. I don't go into a locker room where I don't hear, hey, man, you got some tape.
God, dog.
Still the same. And I know one thing that Jonathan and I both really loved, I guess probably because of our age, just it hit us at the right time, was that Blue Bloods run.
How did that come about?
Was it something that you were just like, let's go, let's do it, or did it take a little convincing?
No. That spot was open for Triple H. That was his spot. But I guess Vince got a hold of him before you know, Turner get, you know, whoever was booking at the time, I can't remember who was booking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they needed somebody, to take his spot. You know.
And
yeah,
we talked
about that earlier. It's
yeah,
odd that
you're right on point, Jonathan.
He debuted with a very similar gimmick in the World Wrestling Federation. So did he just take that idea with him?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I never did ask him. I've seen him a lifetime, you know. But you know, they gave him a setup for him and Steve Regal to do. You know, but the funny thing is, probably one of my funny signs in the wrestling business is when he was trying to make me proper. You know, he's trying to make me, you know, how to hold my fork, how to drink my tea, and this and that. Yeah.
Did you retain any of what he taught you?
No, I went back to the opposite way. Yeah.
Who's that? Pick my nose.
Where are they stable? I didn't know what, I didn't even know what a blue blood was.
We didn't have a lot of blue bloods in Huntsville.
No.
We saw a lot of.
Right.
Whose idea was it to change it from the Alabama Dam to the Tower of London?
When our team was Steve Regal. It was
so that was you?
No, I didn't come up with that name. They did, because that was a London name. You know, it was a British name.
Mm-hmm.
Tower of London. You know, I didn't know who that was neither.
Bobby's just here to do his work. I'm here to do my, I'm going to throw this drop kick. I'm going to do this neck breaker, whatever y'all need. You can call it, you can put it over however you want to put it up.
Yeah, call it whatever you want to call it, and I'll do it.
And that's yet another great tag team that you were in. Did you prefer tag team wrestling, or was it just one of those things that people just knew you could do it well and kept putting you in it?
I prefer tag team wrestling, you know. They put me in a singles run there for a while in Atlanta for Turner. But my deal was always like to be a tag team.
Yeah.
Did you also prefer
a lot of people know about Coco Ware.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we were teamed up for like a year or two or whatever. And
yeah.
Or Jerry Jarrett. And I thought we made a good team.
Did you change what you did at all as those teams changed around? Because, you know, you were in a different role sort of each time, or were you I'll do this thing, you do that thing? How much did you communicate with your partners? Like, this is what we're going to be, this is how we're going to handle it. Or was it just more of you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll work the psychology of a tag team match?
Well, I was lucky enough to have, you know, guys that knew how to wrestle as far as, you know, tag team wrestling and stuff like that. You know, but I always thought Coco and I were a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me and Dennis, of course, and me and Steve Regal, but Steve Regal he's really not a tag team guy. He's mostly.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all my partners. I enjoyed working with them.
I think that tag team wrestling really, really requires so much psychology in it. I remember one time we were on a show with the Rock and Roll Express, and Robert Gibson pulled me and my guys aside and told us, you're standing on the wrong side of the post to make your tag. And he explained why that was. Is there anything that you see young guys doing in tag team matches that just drives you crazy?
Mm-hmm. I can't think of it, if it is, you know. I like the Samoans for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I like their work, you know. And
the Usos?
Yeah.
What about, you know, you, the same way you spent most of your career in tag teams, you also spent most of your career working with managers, namely Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette. Did you prefer working with a manager, or did you like working, you know, on your own?
I like having a manager.
What was it you liked about tag team wrestling and having a manager specifically?
Excuse me. I don't know. It just made it easier, you know, that, especially with me and Jim, because we travel together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this, how we're going to do this move, how we're going to do that move, you know. Because I don't know if you know, but Jim Cornette, he could actually work, you know. As far as, you know, having a match, he could have a match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paulie, I don't know for sure about Paulie because I wasn't around him a whole lot. Yeah. But,
And having Cornette around, you never had to say a word either.
No, exactly. Right. Yeah,
just
you know, that was never my best role as a wrestler, was my interviews, you know. I mean, they couldn't understand me. They couldn't, they had that redneck kind of whatever. But when you get a guy like Jim Cornette or Paul Lee, you don't need to talk. You know.
Just no need in it. I mean, and that's one of those things that as long as you understand what your role is, that's how it works. Not everybody has to be the Four Horsemen where everybody talks and you know, JJ does his thing. I mean, you had Jim Cornette to just go out there and do it, and then you guys handled it in the ring, and I think you did all right for yourselves.
I think so, too. Thank you. You know, I mean, who's going to out talk either one of them guys I had managing me? Who's going to talk, you know, get the point across more than themselves, Jim Cornette or I'll leave.
The only thing bad about it
was that the people really didn't like them guys. No matter if they smartened them up or what. That's it.
They just weren't like them.
Yeah, just go out there and talk. You don't need no more heat.
That's it. We'll be lucky. Jim Cornette's actually coming through to one of our promotions here in the area in a couple weeks, so that'll be exciting. He's doing a big seminar there. One last thing I wanted to ask you. Have you ever had a better pizza than Star Pizza?
Where'd that come from? Where was that at?
Star would have been, it was like in a little 5 points.
Oh, damn. I always got the Zesco burger.
Right. I'm with you.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir. That's it, exactly.
No. You know, it's not there no more.
No, it's not. I think the market sold the recipe to Terry's Pizza, who I delivered for a very long time when I was in college. So.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I did. I had many a birthday supper at Mullins, too. I mean, here in Georgia, you probably know just as well as I do, you can't get a good piece of catfish like you can back home.
Yeah. You know, Mullins closed down.
Yeah, yep. It hurt my heart. It was very sad to me when I found that out.
That's right there from where my sister lives at, you know.
I thought you were Lee, right? You go to Lee?
Yeah.
I've had many people who, once they find out I'm in wrestling, tell me, "Oh, you know, I went to school with Bobby Eaton." I'm like, "I don't." I think Bobby was already wrestling by the time you were in school.
All right, well, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling in. And before we let you go, do you have any kind of social media or internet presence that you want to let people know about?
Bobby Eaton Midnight Express fan page on Facebook.
Oh, that's a legit page.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, So this is the 24th in Rome, right?
Yeah, October 24th. And the website for that is superstarsfanfest.com. You're going to be appearing with so many other people. Mr. Hughes, yeah. Johnny Swinger, Marty Jannetty. Did you, you and Marty Jannetty have been in the ring a few times, right?
No, not a whole lot. Uh-uh.
I mean, it's been a while.
There's a 3 o'clock meet and greet, right?
Let's see. Meet and greet is 3 to 7. Bell time for the wrestling show is 7:30.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's in Rome, Georgia. But everybody just check out superstarsfanfest.com. There's also Facebook. Okay. And I think there's a Twitter for that, too. I'm not sure.
Hey, you may know my friends around there. Frankie, I keep thinking of his last name. Frankie and Liz, they've been going to wrestling matches for years. They were real nice to me when I was breaking in.
Where is that, in Rome?
Yeah, if you've seen them. Well, about both of them, you know. Oh. But thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to seeing you down there, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you, buddy. All right. Here's Brian.
Did he say, here's Brian? I didn't
catch the last part either. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just happy as I can be.
Yeah, that was one that I'm glad we had that one. You know, he's like, you know, he's one of those guys that everybody, like you said, I think Stone Cold's talked about him a lot on his podcast. Everybody talks about how great he was as a person and in the ring, but unfortunately, it's very doubtful he'll ever be in the WWE Hall of Fame as deserving as he is.
I thought about talking about that, and I was like, there's no sense in it.
Yeah.
But go.
You never know.
Just Google his name, look at all he did, and then it's a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer, that if you got a Hall of Fame somewhere and you got wrestling involved with it, then Bobby Eaton should be in it.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in the NWA Hall of Fame or anything like that, but.
Surely.
Yeah, I would think so. If not, then he will be for sure. But I'm sure there's a lot of footage of him on the WWE Network too. I mean, they probably have enough.
Yeah.
They could put out a 3-disc DVD set if they wanted to.
I'm sure they could.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm still working on next week's guest. It'll probably be someone else from the Superstars Fan Fest. I always forget to mention this, but for some reason I remembered. You could listen to us on Stitcher and iTunes, as well as at blogtalkradio.com/PSP. You can listen to all of the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows there. What else? Anything else before we go, Matt? Are there any shows this?
NWA Atlanta will be this weekend for sure. I don't know if anybody else. I know there is someone else, but that's the one I know about for certain.
Yeah, this is that weekend where, without Anarchy,
man.
There's stuff going on, but, you know, NW Atlanta is a good one. I'm just looking now at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com under upcoming events, and. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is running in LJ.
I'm sure if it's a Saturday, Southern Championship will be running.
Yeah, I think that's every weekend, right? There's Explosive Pro Wrestling.
Is there Glacier Chill?
He's kind of a regular there, isn't he? I know he's.
I know I saw them promoting that pretty well, that he was coming back. And
October 10th.
I know they've got that giant.
Yeah, Glacier and lots of other great matches.
And they're
Empire
going to have a big Halloween show that absolutely, if you can get your head out of the bobbin for Apples Bowl, is going to be something to behold.
Well, everybody does a big Halloween show, so I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot of that. In fact, not many details yet, but Monstrosity Championship Wrestling will be part of an event at Hellbender Harley-Davidson on October 17th called the Monster Mash. There is a Facebook invitation for it, Monster Mash Anniversary Bash. Lots of stuff going on. Pinup Girl or Monster Pinup Contest. Sideshow Performers, Captain Stab and Maybell, Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, Fire Dancers, all sorts of stuff. So you can find that on Facebook. Just look for Monster Mash Anniversary Bash. But I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week. Again, go listen to the other shows and check us out. We'll be back next Monday at 7. And I think that's it.
I think we covered it.
Yes. Thanks again to beautiful Bobby Eaton. And thanks to Dylan for helping make that happen. I think we're good. So thanks for listening. And we'll be back next Monday.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.